ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. A major storm system expected to move up the East Coast today. It's dumped up to 5 inches of rain on parts of Florida. About 60 million people in 17 states are under a flood watch, and ABC's Morgan Norwood says there's been a major impact on travel.
The storm hits as more than 100 million Americans from coast to coast prepare for holiday travel, and we are starting to see some delays, many of them coming out of this airport, Newark Liberty. The good news, Delta and American are both waiving flight change fees for flights in and out of that storm zone.
Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin and the chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff are heading to Israel, where the Israeli military is facing criticism and domestic protests after soldiers shot and killed 3 hostages, believing they were Hamas fighters, but the group was holding a white cloth. Israel acknowledged it violated the rules of engagement. And police in Austin, Texas, say officers shot and killed a man who attempted to enter a bar while carrying a gun. Then he began shooting at people, injuring 3. This is ABC News. Los Angeles County Sheriff's homicide investigators arrested a man and a woman for allegedly murdering a 4-year-old boy in a road rage incident.
The arrests now made after investigators say the 29-year-old man and 27-year-old woman cut off the victim's car. They began to chase the victim, mother, father, and small child who were driving in the city of Lancaster. The victim slowed down and the suspects allegedly pulled up alongside the family's passenger side and opened fire. The 4-year-old boy was in the back seat and was shot and killed. The parents raced him to a hospital, but he was already dead. The investigation is ongoing. Alex Stone, ABC News in LA County.
Basketball legend Kareem Abdul-Jabbar suffered a broken hip after he fell at a concert Friday night in Los Angeles. The 76-year-old was scheduled to undergo surgery on Saturday. He is the 6-time NBA Most Valuable Player, a 5-time NBA champion who was for decades the league's all-time scoring leader. Brian Clark, ABC News.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Even Republican women, when they walk into that booth, that reversal of RVW is going to walk in with them, because that cuts to the very essence of what a woman is and what she can be and what she can decide. To speak in Wisconsin terminology, the reversal of Roe v. Wade is the right bower for Democrats. That's a Euchre reference.
That is spot on. You nailed it, John Roach, once again.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Your soulmate is somebody who, when you get out of the McDonald's drive-thru, she'll do a picklectomy and take the pickles out of my cheeseburger and put extra pickles on hers.
I'm flummoxed, I'm flabbergasted, I'm quacking upset right now.
You're going to defend pickles?
Except for bread and butter pickles, those things are the devil.
Oh, see, now if I were going to try any of them, it would
be Pat!
Okay. And this is why Greg and I are not married.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Luggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden is coming back to Wisconsin. The White House says the president will be in Milwaukee on Wednesday to talk about his initiatives to help small businesses. It'll be Biden's 3rd visit to Wisconsin this year, and it's a sign of how important Wisconsin is in next year's presidential race. Biden leads Donald Trump 50-48 in Wisconsin in the latest Marquette poll. It could cost as much as $1 billion to replace all lead water lines throughout the state of Wisconsin. That's according to new estimates from the State Department of Natural Resources. There are around 150,000 lead service pipes throughout the state and another 229,000 that may have connections made out of lead. While the state did get federal funding to offset the cost, that federal money is only enough to replace around 95,000 lines. I'm Nate Luggehout, Civic Media News.
A.J. Dillon unlikely to play. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. A.J. Dillon has been the Packers' best running back this season, but we've learned on one of the last plays of the game Monday in New York, Dillon's right hand was crushed by a helmet. He now has a broken right thumb. Aaron Jones has been out a month with an MCL sprain. Is he ready yet?
I'm feeling a lot better. Got to move around today in practice and making great strides, so I'm Going to take it day by day, but I feel I'm confident.
Wisconsin's volleyball team is coming home. They lost in the semifinals last night in Tampa, 3-1 to the Texas Longhorns, who advanced to the finals against Nebraska on Sunday. The Badgers men's basketball team able to get another win at home, this time 75-60 over Jacksonville State. Wisconsin now 8-3. They return to the Kohl Center next Friday night against Chicago State. Badgers head coach Greg Gard.
We are going to have to really work to get things offensively because they're a good defensive team.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. We'll see some fog in the morning, mostly cloudy skies, highs reaching the upper 30s with west winds gusting up around 20 miles per hour. Chance for a little bit of light snow in the late afternoon. That will carry over into Sunday night. Mostly cloudy and blustery, lows in the lower teens. It's 33 at our studios.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Welcome Tuesday night, Busted Pencils. December is here. It rolls around, and let me tell you what, Johnny, every music teacher is facing that annual showdown to rock around the Christmas tree or not. It's not just about decking the halls with jolly tunes. It's a cultural tightrope walk. Our guest tonight, she's not a pundit, but she's a punk rocker in the world of educational thought. Increasingly, she's been seeing educators hitting the pause button, potentially, on Christmas-specific tunes. Talk about a Christmas-specific tune. Anya, get that keyed up. You want to talk about punk rock and Christmas? Jingle Bells, punk rock. Anya, hit it. Oh, this is one of my favorite, Johnny Lupinacci. Coming up. I know I'm
dashing through the snow in a one horse open sleigh. Out of fields we go, laughing all the way. Bells on bobtails tails ring, making spirits bright. Fun and it's the rider, sing a sleighing song tonight. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Well, what fun it is to ride in a one horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Well, what fun.
Oh, that's probably enough of that. Thank you, Anya. Our guest tonight on Busted Pencils, return guest Nancy Flanagan, music educator extraordinaire, Michigan, blog author, teacher in a strange land. Nancy, welcome back to Busted Pencils. How are you?
I am so happy to be here and to have heard that. Because wow.
Hey, come on. A classic Jingle Bells done by the Sex Pistols. Come on, this is Busted Pencils, the punk rock and education show. I had to find it out there. Johnny Lupinacci, what do you think? Bring back memories when you heard that, man?
Oh yeah, it's a Christmas classic in the punk collection for sure. I like the topic of the show this week. You know, I was kind of steamrolling through finals week and getting all the everything sort of starts to slow down with. But slow down, I mean, it's like an avalanche on university campuses at the end of the semester. We just get buried in all of the last things to do. And right about that time that we're closing things up, things pick up in the elementary schools and the middle schools and the high schools as they're winding down a week or so after us. So I was just checking in with teachers today and actually having that kind of conversation that aligns to the theme of the show is, you know, how they're all navigating the importance of the holiday season in terms of the diversity of ways that families from around the world and even locally celebrate this time in very different ways. And so how to navigate that, to honor that diversity, but also to have a joyous time and then layer on top of that to celebrate together in times where it's not celebration time for so many people. I mean, we have war and suffering and poverty and stress and all kinds of, you know, almost unlivable conditions all around us. And so, you know, just checking in on those things. But then I started reading for the show today and started following, okay, here's what we're going to talk about. And it's right aligned with that. So it's this very real topic for anyone with kids in schools or is teaching in schools. And it didn't always used to be this way. I mean, it just sort of was always assumed, hey, it's Christmas time. The same way as, hey, it was Thanksgiving time. It's the same way as, hey, it was Columbus Day. You know, we just kind of rolled with what we were told and didn't really dive into or peel back the layers of the onion per se. And so here we are. We have an amazing repeat guest here. And I'm excited to talk about this because it's so real for all these teachers.
No, it's totally right. It's totally real. I mean, and Nancy Flanagan, the blog post again from Teacher in a Strange Land, the problem with jingle bells. Nancy, how about this? Would it be a problem to teach jingle bells using the Sex Pistols?
Not recommended, probably. Okay.
So, well, you know, because I put out some promotions today, and one of the things I kind of put on there is somebody pointed out and said, that's just clickbait, Tim, because I said canceling jingle bells. And they were like, how dare, you know, because that you guys aren't canceling jingle bells. Oh, I don't know, Nancy, are we canceling jingle bells? Okay.
No, no. Actually, in you know, in the many years, you know, I started teaching music and band and choir in the 1970s. And one of my go-to pieces was Jingle Bells because it didn't have any religious, you know, meaning attached to it. And it was kind of a safety song. And it's a great little song if you're teaching beginners, you know, or really little children, because it's a simple tune and they can sing it and they've all heard it and they all know it and they all want to go, ha, ha, ha. You know, that's just hilarious when you're six. And this professor at Boston University, Kina Hamill, put out this research paper saying, hey, you know, this song was sung by minstrels. Mm-hmm. And so therefore it's shady and it is shady. But it's kind of like, you know, Thomas Jefferson was shady and Abraham Lincoln was shady and they're still national icons. So then later she changed her mind and said, yeah, I guess we can sing Jingle Bells, but you really should talk about it, which I think is a good point. Everything that you put in front of kids, you need to be able to answer the question of why are we singing this or why are we playing this or what's in it for us? And who decided not to do it, good on them.
You're good with them. So, but I mean, you point out some great things though, that maybe even just right away is that why is it so often used in one sense of saying, you know, well, it's catchy, it's easy. People know the words, it's associated. It doesn't have the religious overtones that might be, as Johnny was pointing out, you know, we have diverse student populations with multiple religious beliefs and or no religious beliefs. And here you are, this is a holiday. And then, you know, from the music side, I love in the piece, and please check it out, Teacher in a Strange Land, Nancy Flanagan's blog. You point out too that like beginning to teach music to beginning that orchestra, that seventh grade orchestra, that holiday concert, or when I went to school, that Christmas concert, and sitting there as a parent and going, I am so proud of how awful that sounded. but it's because and you use jingle bells very intentionally as a music educator though, because it's not that it's quote easy, but it's that place where people can kind of move in and you can help them begin that. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, thinking about that part, I mean, is that the first, you know, so I'm a music ed student. I'm thinking about becoming a music teacher. I'm going out to prepare a lesson plan for Nancy Flanagan's classroom. And I'm coming in going, Nancy, I want to teach jingle bells. Tell me what you're going to say to a student teacher who wants to teach Jingle Bells. And if you want to tell what that student teacher what to do, call us 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Jingle Bells, Nancy, new student teacher wants to do it. Advice to them.
Oh, this is the big issue right now. And I am mentoring a couple of first year teachers here in this county, and they're both doing holiday programs, and one has chosen just to do anything but anything that has any winter, Christmas, you know. He's playing number 37 on page 4, you know, and because he just doesn't want to get tangled up with this. And this is something he's heard in his music education classes. And then there's another guy who's putting on a full-blown Christmas concert. And he's chosen some, Santa Claus things. And, you know, he's not dabbling in religion, but he was directed by his principal to play songs that parents know. And he said, "What do I do?" I said, "Well, you know, if your principal tells you, you know, we've always had a Christmas concert. This year, you choose carefully, but make people happy, and then as you go along, you can work on this. You can talk to your students about the origins of some of these songs and where they came from. It's a little easier for bands than it is for choirs or elementary kids, because they have lyrics. And those are often troublesome. Not in Jingle Bells. There's nothing in Jingle Bells that's in any way negative. It's just its history as a tune. And I wouldn't hesitate to program it, but I know people who are drawing that line, and it's a hot topic on social media right now. There are elementary music teachers especially just fighting and arguing about it, and people saying, "Hey, I've been a music teacher for 30 years and I'm closing with Oh Holy Night." And then other people are like, "How are you going to get away with that?" Well, if I had one tip for a new teacher, it would be know your community. You can't be squeezed by an administrator or by parents to play something specifically, but it really does help to know where you're teaching and what the people there have had in the past and how you're going to approach it.
I'm thinking like in a small little rural town, maybe opening up with the Sex Pistols version of Jingle Bells might be a little offensive. Johnny Lupinacci, yes. Let's see, we got 2 minutes. Just throw a couple things in there before we go to break and we'll do some more.
Well, I think this is a great conversation because it, like Lancey shared here and, you know, you brought up, it is something that teachers are talking about, especially music teachers. But not only the music teachers, because they're practicing these in class. I mean, the Christmas caroling, the singing, the music aspect of the holiday season is kind of part of the written, but also the hidden curriculum in schools is a really big one. And so, you know, learning to do different is really important. And I love what Nancy shared. You have to know your community, because as we make changes, we make it together in the community. And so I'm kind of in the middle where I can really understand and respect and have value for a principal that says, "Hey, play some songs at the program this year that parents will know." Right? On the other side, you know, play the ones that you also feel comfortable with kids singing and, you know, purporting a message of, you know, unity and diversity in this time of year.
But, you know, and so we're going to do that when we get back.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZ, the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Dane County Executive Joe Parisi. Joe, let me ask you, you've made a little news. You have declared what in regard to the Twitter, now known as the X, and the Dane County municipal accounts. Joe, have you banned Twitter?
Well, we're no longer going to be using Twitter, I think is probably the...
Is that the same as banning Twitter, sir?
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bride.
Anybody who's ever breastfed a child knows that breast milk is liquid gold. Preserve it at all costs.
Oh, that's what Kristen was talking about. Yeah. Freezing it, like pumping, freezing. She's like, I have bricks of it. I'm like, this sounds like a reboot of Breaking Bad. Like, this is...
In the breast.
Breaking breast. Breaking breast.
Breaking breast. Well done.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to The Buzz of the North. 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Layton in Greenfield, Robert Hack Diamonds, where they want your business. Diamonds. Visit them on 76th and Layton.
Tim and Johnny, drinking Bud Light, shopping at Target, and of course, don't forget their pronoun, them. Educated educators talking education. This is Busted Pencils.
And this is Tim and Johnny. And our guest, Nancy Flanagan, Busted Pencils. Nancy, what do you think of those new liners there coming in? You know, who knew that two radio show podcast hosts had their own pronoun, them? You know, no. There it is. Them. That's who they are. They are them. Nancy, though, we're talking about your blog post, Teacher in a Strange Land, The Problem with Jingle Bells. We had a little bit of fun coming into the show, a little bit of punk rock, Sex Pistols moving in. Talking about, though, the idea of saying, no, Jingle Bells isn't, quote, canceled, but there could be something there. And for any listener out there right now who's going, I wait a minute, I don't get it. What is upsetting about bobtails and one horse? Is it an open sleigh or an open sleigh? I never knew which one it was in second grade, but it was one of those things. I don't see anything offensive. What in the world could be wrong with Jingle Bells? Nancy Flanagan, give us a little history lesson if you can, or yes. If you will, please. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. The Jingle Bells is a through composed song. It's not a folk song where we can't trace its history back as a lot of holiday related music is. It was composed by a guy named James Lord Pierpont back in around the time of the Civil War. And Pierpont's family, he had a father and two brothers who were Unitarian ministers and abolitionists. And he grew up in Massachusetts. So, he wasn't a slave owner or anything. But he moved because he had a family to support. He moved to Georgia and became an organist at a Unitarian church down there. And he was there when the Civil War broke out. And so... he, at that time, served in the Confederate Army as a clerk for about 3 years. The records are a little murky. And then after that, he continued to write music and to sell it, because that's how he was making his money. He was playing the organ, giving music lessons, and selling his tunes. And that was a bigger deal proportionately back then than selling music is right now, because most homes had pianos, or civilized homes did. So learning to play the piano and singing and, you know, being musically literate was a big deal. And the sleighing songs were very, very popular. And he wrote songs about, you know, what people were doing for fun back then. And he his most famous song is Jingle Bells. There's a long list. If you go to Wikipedia or one of the sites that I used writing the blog, there's a long list of songs that he wrote, and they all sound really kind of tragic, you know, just not very interesting. And this was his big hit, and he sold lots and lots of copies, and no one ever really paid attention to that. It's not a Christmas song. It was it's a sleighing song. It's a, in the blog, I said, it's kind of the 1867 version of Little Deuce Coupe, you know, it's everybody sang it because it was about going out with your girlfriend in a sleigh.
So
way cool.
And even that might be a problem, though.
Well, no. And wow. So this Kina Hamill, who discovered that the song was first performed or often performed by minstrel groups back in the late 19th century. There's a lot of music like that, and a lot of it is patently offensive. You know, songs about darkies and things that we today just would never do. I mean, because they're overtly racist. But this song, while it was probably, as far as she could tell, sung at various points by people in blackface or in minstrel shows, those are no longer with us. And some of those songs, things like Dixie and Stephen Foster's songs, Old Folks at Home, also have racist language. And the music teachers have been sorting through this. I guess Pierpont, he falls into that category of a person who wrote songs that were sung in, you know, performances that we find questionable today, but, the song has existed past all of that and in a million ways.
Yeah. And so I want to get back to the, we'll go that direction of going, like, where has it come to? We got a caller on the line, though. L.A. Tom, our buddy, L.A. Tom. Tom, you want to do some jingle belling. What's up, Tom?
Hey, Tim. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. Back in, I don't know. I feel exhausted just for the teachers, to tell you the truth. They got to analyze every little thing that comes their way. It just seems like it's really quite unfair besides teaching the kids. You know what? I'm one of those people that whatever it is to get a kid to put their face in a book and read, whatever it is that gets a kid and singing a song, I'm all good for it. Because you know what? Singing and dancing and reading and, you know, all these different things, those are things we want kids to do. And actually the energy alone that is created by singing and dancing is a very, very positive thing. So, you know, just like these people that, you know, on one hand they'll say, oh, these kids can't read. On the other hand, they're saying, oh, they can't read that's in that book. That's offensive. You know, with the whole, you know, whatever. I'm not going to say their name. Give them any type of extra.
Thank you.
But, I mean, it's just one of those things that I would think anything that we could encourage our kids to either get involved in reading, singing, dancing, things like that would be a good thing.
I agree with you, Tom. And I'm wondering if this is, though, the point here, too, is to look at this. What Nancy reveals in this blog, though, too, isn't it worth teaching that history of the song, not canceling the song, but now we've got a new layer of depth of understanding, and it's not just, quote, jingle bells, this kind of, you know, culturally ambiguous, ambiguously sung song that just kind of, you know, potentially is, you know, not offensive. It's just jingle bells, or it's about Batman smells and Robin laid an egg and all those other versions of Batman, you know, that you said that. But, you know, I think about this, and Johnny, I see this still too. Has Nancy hit on, though, the potential of going, it's a fun song, it's a great music education, and it's also something great to learn about the composer, the history associated with the composer, the reality of the historical situation in which the song may have been sung at a point. And now even to this point, and I'm thinking, like, truly as a social studies educator here, now it's going to come through. It's like that ability to take the past and put it in today's frame and make those connections. Who knew jingle bells was powerful social studies teaching? I see I Nancy and Johnny. Oh, 30 seconds. Oh, my God. We're almost there. Yeah, let's kind of hold off on that.
Let's come back and hit that because love where you took this, Tim. I love that intersection there of music always having story to it.
Busted pencils, fully leaded. Back after the break with some more jingle bells.
Mm-hmm. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. A major storm system expected to move up the East Coast today. It's dumped up to 5 inches of rain on parts of Florida. About 60 million people in 17 states are under a flood watch, and ABC's Morgan Norwood says there's been a major impact on travel.
The storm hits as more than 100 million Americans from coast to coast prepare for holiday travel, and we are starting to see some delays, many of them coming out of this airport, Newark Liberty. The good news, Delta and American are both waiving flight change fees for flights in and out of that storm zone.
Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin and the chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff are heading to Israel, where the Israeli military is facing criticism and domestic protests after soldiers shot and killed 3 hostages, believing they were Hamas fighters, but the group was holding a white cloth. Israel acknowledged it violated the rules of engagement. And police in Austin, Texas, say officers shot and killed a man who attempted to enter a bar while carrying a gun. Then he began shooting at people, injuring 3. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The man who made a bomb threat to the state capitol building in 2018 has been sentenced to 3 years in prison. Terrence Grissom sent a letter to the Dane County District Attorney's office at the time saying there was a bomb in then-Governor Scott Walker's office. Grissom pled guilty to the charge earlier this month. Online shoppers should look out for scam artists. Courtney Ann Clam is a fraud expert with AARP Wisconsin. She says it's clear more people need to learn the red flags.
We talk about ads on social media. It's sometimes really difficult to discern if that's real or not. You know, the landscape is always shifting. People are maybe not keeping up as much as they should be on some of those new tactics.
She says only 28% passed a recent AARP quiz about warning signs for shopping and gift card scams. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Earl Ingram was giving Thanksgiving turkey cooking tips. Apparently, if you use your thumb and put an imprint on the turkey breast, if it bounces back, it's fresh. If it doesn't, it's frozen.
If you see a guy wandering around a grocery store in Madison doing things to turkeys, you'll know who it is.
I just gotta find myself a freshie.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. We'll see some fog in the morning, mostly cloudy skies, highs reaching the upper 30s with west winds gusting up around 20 miles per hour. Chance for a little bit of light snow in the late afternoon. That will carry over into Sunday night. Mostly cloudy and blustery, lows in the lower teens. It's 33 at our studios.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor. But I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Her name is Pam Yonke, but you can just call the host of the Midwest Farm Report, the Fabulous Farm Babe.
That's right, and the Fabulous Farm Babe is now part of the Civic Media team on your local station, Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM in Hayward. Here's show host Todd Alba with the announcement.
She is a broadcast legend. Doesn't matter whether you're a farm person, ag person, a producer, or just a good old Wisconsinite or a Packer fan. Pam Yonke, welcome to Civic Media.
My pleasure, my pleasure. Yeah, lifelong Wisconsinite. I grew up on a small dairy farm in northeast Wisconsin, O'Connell County. Stop and think about the work being done 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to make sure that you and I are the best fed in the world.
Join the Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke on the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM in Hayward.
Your Midwest Farm Report, weekdays from 5 until 6 AM. Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Oh, and we're back. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. The number 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Our guest, Nancy Flanagan, her blog, Teacher in a Strange Land, The Problem with Jingle Bells, L.A. Tom. We appreciated your call. We're going to address it. And so, you know, a couple of different ways we were talking about this over the break, Nancy and Johnny. But so Nancy, does Tom have a point about teachers being tired of every time content comes up? Oh my goodness, I can't do that. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's the big thing right now. Books, ways, mm-hmm. Instructional techniques, stories that you tell that enrich, your curriculum. It's a huge, huge deal. And I try really hard when I think and write about education not to be an alarmist, but I think we're at a really terrible point right now where teachers almost can't do anything. there's somebody who wants to backstop everything that they're doing, and it's just not good. There are things that before the break we were talking about things that people don't know about music. One of the things that I used to teach my students was that the national anthem is set to an old British drinking song. And I would have the words, which don't make a lot of sense to kids in 2023, but it's just a tune. It's a cultural icon. And why would we choose that tune? Well, because it was a tune everybody knew, and we put words to it. And what does that really mean? So I promised I would tell you a story, and it's a story about being a middle school band teacher. And a few years ago, I was working with my students on a tune called A Light in the Window, and it was supposed to be a song that illustrated the Underground Railway and how people looked for a light in the window. And the song near the end quoted the spiritual steal away to Jesus. And I told my students, this is a little quote. It's kind of cool. They took this little hymn tune and stuck, six measures of it in this middle school band piece. And one of my kids raised his hand and he said, Mrs. Flanagan, did slaves believe in Jesus? And why would they believe in Jesus? And then another kid said, if you were enslaved, wouldn't you want to be looking forward to a better world? And of course, I'm just standing on the podium holding my baton, and I'm thinking, okay, here's the lesson. The kids just taught it. They figured out why, what power music has to enlighten people, to give people hope, to be festive, to make people sad. When you go to a funeral, nobody cries until people start singing Amazing Grace. And then, the waterworks happen. It's a powerful, powerful tool. And people have used it for good and for evil for a long time. So it's no wonder that parents want to control it now, or some small segment of parents.
Well, you say, and what they're trying to control, is think about what the way you said that is. The students themselves kind of took over in that story, you said, and taught everything there was to be known. And again, with a reference to Jesus, but not indoctrinating towards Christianity. But again, the history of the song, and I think about that and go, this music, you say, first of all, the show Busted Pencils, we make fun, but it is. It itself, we put punk rock music in there because we very much intentionally are trying to evoke a sense of going like, we want to be a little bit in your face and making you a little bit uncomfortable, God forbid. And, you know, here it is, if this song, but if Jingle Bells, you know, makes you a little uncomfortable when you find out the history, I come back and go, Tom, let's not be worried so much. We appreciate you being worried about tired teachers. How about, though, the empowerment, when you said back to this, the history of this song, the reality that it that I can teach Jingle Bells in the holiday season. And I actually, I think more often than not, most people would, quote, teach Jingle Bells in isolation with no context, no nothing, mm-hmm. except it's a fun song. And here we are now, Nancy, learning and going, look at how relevant it is to learning history. And now even a part of what you just said today, the conversation around what we're allowed to teach and what we're not allowed to teach. What a great example for me as a social studies educator who really comes from the framework of saying, whatever we do, we have to link it to the present moment when we're teaching things about the past. Here's a powerful example. Johnny, I see Johnny getting ready to chime in there, man.
I love where this is going because it's a special moment. I mean, we're going through an awakening. We're in the largest social uprising of all of our lifetime. And sure, it's inspired by generational efforts to draw attention to inequality and to unjust suffering. And the commitment that this generation of teachers, and I say that spanning generations, but people in the profession of teaching, whether they're mentoring at the end of their careers or they're just coming in, there is a moment right now in education where we're really committed to something we've been committed to for a long time, not just knowing about it, but doing something different about it. That's messy. That's hard. And it's exciting when we get to talk about it because we're learning how to do better in schools. And we're I'm with Nancy. The ways that teachers are backstopped right now, it just feels like there's not a move they can make. And that's not a learning space. Yeah. That's not a space where they can say, hey, we're going to try this. We're going to go with Jingle Bells, but we're also going to teach about the backstories. And we're going to be really open about some of the things that could be put forward, but also that we don't want to continue about certain things. And for me, like Jingle Bells kind of falls right on that line. Right. It's not overtly like we are reciting racist language and terms and the song taking us back to particular moments. However, it's pretty close to it. So the kind of awareness that teachers have talking through that and sharing that every song in the world has a story. Every story is political and cultural. And so we're really teaching this thoughtful, critical awareness that we're also learning to do as teachers, right? So it's a special moment and it's so good to have these conversations and not land immediately on cancel it, shut it down. Mm. You know, there's that cultural phrase I grew up with, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Mm. Okay, we want to change the bathwater out of racism, of sexism, of hatred and these things. Absolutely, no doubt about it. But there's something there, right, in terms of song, in terms of sharing melodies, in terms of experiencing joy in the eros of being in music with one another that we don't want to throw away in the process. And so, you know, that's what music teachers and teachers in general and hopefully parents listening, like that's the things you're also committed to as we, you know, raise the future citizens of a great country like we live in, right? This is how we learn to be in the mess that is embracing diversity. So I get excited about it and it's hard. I love that we're here advocating for teachers, right? To have that space to also be learners in it, right? And recognize that moment we're in where it's like, hey, it's not one way or the other. It's this, how do we learn together to do differently in thoughtful ways?
I'm going to say it sounds like advocacy for learning, Nancy, as much as anything, right? I mean, this is learning.
Yeah. Yeah. It's powerful stuff, but it's also dangerous. And I mean, to some people, you know, the more we open these conversations up, the more judged they feel or the more panicky they feel that, well, you know, this is dangerous. This may not turn out exactly the way I want it to. I am always amused when parents think that teachers can control students, you know, impressions and thinking. It really is funny because we're just one little slice of all of the things that they run up against musically and socially. And
yeah, I know. It's like, as you point out, it's like, boy, if only we had as much influence sometimes as some of these parent groups are trying to put on us, because you're sitting there going, my goodness, if I had that amount, if I had a fifth, 5% of the power they're saying I have, my classroom would be a lot more managed, and we might actually, I might be sending home more homework or things like that. You know, we just don't be, but it's not because teachers are out of control. It's just, as you said, it's a social setting, and kids bring everything that they live at home, how those are going. You get 20 to 27 to 29 of those people in a classroom with it. And it's a little society of diversity, as Johnny points out, diversity of thought. And as a teacher, though, the moment and remembering what you're supposed to do, we're there to create situations in which students can learn. And I think here what we're saying, there is a lot of magic in being able to allow kids to dig deep and to learn. As you said, Nancy, sometimes even too, they're perfectly fine and may even teach us some things every so often. If we let them run with this, we give them an opportunity. But you know, here we are, we're singing Jingle Bells. It's December. And I know, as I said, put it out there promoting the show today, you know, Jingle Bells canceled ? Could be like, oh my God, here we go. Now we're canceling Jingle Bells. Or as one person was like, Tim, that's just clickbait. You're just trying to get people to, you know, I'm like, well, yeah, there was probably a little bit of a clickbait there, but is there a potential, and there is a little bit of that history of the teaching side of this, though, Nancy, too, that you did cover in this piece where you said, you know, the person who, quote, first called attention to the potential of this song maybe being, you know, on the offensive side, she herself had a history over time moment of saying, oh, wait, give us a little more on like, you know, the author who did the research.
Yeah, in a subsequent piece, after schools started saying, okay, now we know we're canceling Jingle Bells. And she said, no, don't cancel Jingle Bells. You go ahead and use it, but maybe give a little background to it. So before we wind up this section, I want to do a pitch for the ACLU. They have a whole lot of materials for teachers about what it's okay to do and what it's not okay to do. Just go to their main website and their education. The author who has written a lot of this stuff is a guy named Charles Haynes. And when music teachers are worried about, you know, breaking the law, I send them there, because that's a really, really good resource and really trustworthy information about things that are inappropriate and things that are appropriate. And he makes a lot of suggestions like, you know, talk this through with your students, see what they think, you know, challenge them to think about whether what they're singing or playing is not good literature. And my other tip would be, always go for good literature. If you are canceling everything except Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer, you're not doing a great job being a music educator.
Well, come on. Now that doesn't very speak wisely to the older people when we're running them over with reindeers, you know. I mean, come on. We're not anti-grandmas on this show. Nancy Flanagan, the blog, Teacher in a Strange Land, the problem with Jingle Bells. There's no problem with Jingle Bells. It is an opportunity to do more than just teach a silly song. And yes, the kids are going to say, Batman smells, Robin lays an egg. We know that, but that's part of it. But how about digging in, letting them learn a little bit more? Nancy Flanagan, the problem with Jingle Bells. We appreciate you. Thanks for busting pencils.
Oh, yes.
All you do.
Anytime.
All we do. And when we get back, Johnny and Tim break it down. Busted pencils back after the break.
This anymore. This is the end for you, my friend. I can't fucking.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Her name is Pam Yonke, but you can just call the host of the Midwest Farm Report, the Fabulous Farm Babe.
That's right, and the Fabulous Farm Babe is now part of the Civic Media team on your local station, Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM in Hayward. Here's show host Todd Alba with the announcement.
She is a broadcast legend. Doesn't matter whether you're a farm person, ag person, a producer, or just a good old Wisconsinite or a Packer fan. Pam Yonke, welcome to Civic Media.
My pleasure, my pleasure. Yeah, lifelong Wisconsinite. I grew up on a small dairy farm in northeast Wisconsin, O'Connell County. Stop and think about the work being done 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to make sure that you and I are the best fed in the world.
Join the Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke on the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM in Hayward.
Your Midwest Farm Report, weekdays from 5 until 6 AM. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Tim and Johnny, proud supporters of PB&J, MLB, and of course CRT. Educated educators talking education. This is Busted Pencils.
And it is Busted Pencils. Our guest, thank you again, Nancy Flanagan. Great conversation. No, we're not canceling Jingle Bells, Johnny DiFinacci. Relax, man.
Oh, man.
Nah, you know, and L.A. Tom. Hey, there is still the time. I mean, this is where Johnny and I typically break it down. 844-967-2789. Though, you are always welcome to call in at any time, you know, if there is out there. You know, and should we cancel the Jingle Bells, Batman Smells, Robin Lays an Egg version? Maybe it's time for that one to go, because I'm not sure Batman does really smell.
Well, I mean, and Tim, I mean, we the whole cancel thing just, you know, to me gets to be misleading. And someone told you, hey, Tim, you're doing clickbait. You're not really doing clickbait, because we really discussed that's really where we're at.
Right.
You know, but the idea of this, like, what we're really getting into is the messiness of and the important commitment we have to every song, every story, everything has a political background to it.
Mm-hmm.
And hard thing is, you know, is part of that process that we're committed to as, you know, educators really, really who not only believe in it, but take action towards, you know, a peaceful and socially just community for everybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know that sounds over romanticized, but I mean, it's a democracy. It's a goal here. And when you're committed to that and you have not, that has not been the case historically, and you just kind of move forward with the stuff that's always been there, you're mm-hmm. running the risk of, you know, taking yourself out at the knees or at the feet when you're having those efforts. So I think it's really, I admire that teachers are in that mess right now and talking to each other about it. I love Nancy's blog all the time, but I especially loved it this week because it is what so many, I mean, I started the show saying it's what so many teachers are talking about. Hey, mm-hmm. we're celebrating this moment. It's for so many different cultures an important time of year, right? And it's also mm-hmm. a difficult time. And mm-hmm. it's also a time where, you know, if we go to the depoliticize things a little bit and just into our ecological existence, it's a time of year where we're winding down a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And
a lot of us are wintering, you mm-hmm. know, we're in that hemisphere where it's like, whew, let's take a deep breath and let's be in sync with the things around us. It's darker more often right now than it's light.
Right.
And so these are times where our humanness, which is our natural being, is to slow down. So there is a lot happening in schools and classrooms. To not acknowledge that and not be in that mess would be a problem. And so I love hearing that teachers are talking about it. And, you know, we're making jokes about Jingle Bells or Frosty the Snowman or whatever it is, right? And but this is a generative conversation that's very real for teachers to be having.
You know, I'm thinking about this. Producer Anya just gave us a little time there. Producer Anya, what do you think of this conversation about Jingle Bells? You've got a little bit more of another generational look. Is Jingle Bells offensive?
Well, sorry, excuse me. Well, I wasn't planning on talking, so I hadn't cleared my throat. You know, I'm sitting here thinking the phrase cancel and cancel culture, I think the problem is that we use that term to mean consequence a lot of the time. Like when someone says like, oh, this actor got canceled for being inappropriate. It's like, no, that actor had consequences for the decisions he's made. So in this context, it's like, well, you can't really give the song consequences. It's a song. It doesn't care. I think it is important. Yeah. We have to talk about minstrel shows. We have to talk about this history. But I think what we got to do is kind of like we're doing on the show tonight is talk about it. It's not put Jingle Bells in a crate and hide it away. It's like, well, that does nothing for the people who were affected by the cruelty of minstrel shows, which isn't that what we're talking about at that point? Something, are we actually helping the people this is about, or are we looking for things to be angry about? And that's not saying you guys are doing it, but to say that canceling, the idea of canceling, I think is like, it's not a thing. It's about having consequences, and this song doesn't care if you give it consequences. So we got to talk about the education part like we are.
There we are. And that's what we do every week. Busted Pencils. Yeah. You know, educated educators talking education. That's right. What we're doing all the time. You know, Johnny, though, we're thinking about that as music. And like I said, I do want to draw on the show ourselves, though, too, and saying like it. If you're paying attention over the years that you've been following Busted Pencils, the music that we use is very intentional. You know, it isn't just cool sounding tunes with a little bit of a punk rock edge. We're picking bands because of the intention, you know, Rise Against, Anti-Flag, their statements that they're making, you know, for democracy, pushing against the grain. If you listen to the words of some of the songs that we're playing, go deep. There's a meaning for picking the music that we use. Music is so powerful that it can do that. And then to recognize something, even the realization, something like Jingle Bells, where the potential of going like, really, we're going to get into a conversation about canceling Jingle Bells? No, Anya, we're not canceling Jingle Bells. But wow. What we really did with Jingle Bells tonight was expand it. We made it huge and deep, and we made it an opportunity to do more than just talk about how bad Batman smells and things like that. This, you know, it's deep. Who knew the history of the Civil War and a family? This was in the blog. People didn't even talk about this. The family of the composer. One, the father was in the Union Army. The son was in the Confederate Army. There it is, the Civil War splitting up families. Just like today, depending on what side, what's happening. Somebody pointed out, you know, this past Thanksgiving, I felt like sitting around my aunts and uncles. It was like in a Civil War. So the reality is here, we can bring this, you know, we can bring this forward. Johnny Lupinacci, we, you know, got a minute or so left there.
I mean, yeah, we got time, and it's exciting, you know, to really break it down and to have those conversations, whether it's Christmas, holiday time or not. You know, it's really, I mean, we love music here. I mean, it's like Busted Pencils. We love the punk rock edge. And one of the things that as my whole life has been a mainstay of punk is, punk is undeniably political, but ending on a note of all music is political. Every song and experience has a backstory and politics to it. So let's get into it.
That's it. More Busted Pencils next week.
Want more Busted Pencils? Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Busted Pencils, or log on to BustedPencils.com for blogs, podcasts, and more. Join us again next Tuesday for Busted Pencils on Devil Radio 92.7.
From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North. 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Lexi spent more than 6 years in foster care.
Before I was adopted, I felt alone.
With help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption, Lexi now has a forever family and the foundation for a bright future.
Adoption changed me for the better. I feel like I can be whoever I want to be.
You can help find permanent homes for children still lingering in foster care. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian.